بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم ووالاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and brothers, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us, has given us this opportunity to gather in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Firstly, it's very important for us to understand that what is our intention and why are we gathered here tonight. Unlike the nights of Laylatul Qadr, or the night of Laylatul Bara, Shab-e Barat, this night is not a big night. It is not an auspicious night. It is not a virtuous night. This night is no more auspicious than last night was, or the night before, or the night before. So us gathering here, us sitting here, we should be sitting with the intention of gaining ilm, of gaining knowledge. Because in gaining knowledge of deen, there is virtue. مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ طَرِيقًا بِهِ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that person who treads the path of knowledge, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the path to Jannah easy for this person. That person who goes out to seek knowledge, then the fish in the ocean and the birds in the sky seek forgiveness for such a person. So we sit here with this intention that we have come to learn about one aspect of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to learn about an amazing episode in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This night is known as Laylatul Miraj, the night of the ascension of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The scholars differ exactly which night it was. There were other scholars said that it happened in the month of Rabiul Awwal. Some said it happened in the month of Zulqa'dah. But many of the scholars are of the opinion that it happened on this night, the 27th night of Rajab. And there is a bit of a background to the story, to what happened on that night. We must understand that there are two issues, separate issues here. One is the Isra of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one is the Mi'raj of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Isra refers to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveling from Makkah Mukarrama to the lands of Palestine. Isra literally means the night journey, traveling by night. So it refers to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bodily traveling from Makkah Mukarrama to Palestine. And Mi'raj literally means ascension. That refers to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascending from Baytul Maqdis into the skies and beyond. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had become a Nabi, and for 9 years Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been preaching to his people, calling them towards one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after his people had been involved in shirk for many, many years. And as a result of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calling them towards one Allah, calling towards the Tawheed, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced many, many hostilities, a lot of abuse at the hands of his people. They rejected him, they denied him, they physically and verbally abused him. And this carried on for 9 years. And in that time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through a lot of turmoil, a lot of difficulty. And then the 10th year of the mission of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. And in this year, three very depressing, very sad incidents happened to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number one, it was during this year that the beloved wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our respected mother, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, passed away. She was a support to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a pillar of support to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can we forget those beautiful and encouraging words she said when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam first became a Nabi? He was anxious, he was worried, he was not, did not know what to expect. So she pacified Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah will never disgrace you. You are a person who looks after the widows. You are a person who looks after orphans. You are a person who bears the burden of other people. You are a person who earns for those people who are unable to earn. And these encouraging and pacifying words of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha once again motivated Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this pillar of support, the pillar of support in the home of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, she passed away in this year. And shortly after that, the pillar of support of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam outside the home, his beloved uncle Abu Talib, also passed away. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam would call the people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yes, he suffered a lot of abuse and a lot of hostility from his people. But the people still held back a bit out of respect of the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is the nephew of a very, very senior person in our community. So out of respect for this senior person, we will not unleash our full wrath upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But now Abu Talib also passes away. And now the Quraysh, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is at the mercy of the Quraysh. And thirdly, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he saw the rejection of his people, people are denying him, people are rejecting him, they're not answering his call, the Nabi alayhi wa sallam decided to turn his attention to another major city in the areas, in those areas, and what that was the city of Taif, the second largest or the second main city after Makkah Mukarramah. So we all know the famous incident of Taif. Nabi alayhi wa sallam went there with the hope that perhaps these people will accept me and this can become my base for me to now propagate the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know very well the story. Allah ta'ala had destined this virtue for the people of Medina Munawwara, the Ansar, and the people of Taif, the hooligans of Taif, they stoned our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to such an extent that the Mubarak and blessed body of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been covered in blood. So the third depressing and sad incident happened in this year. That is why this 10th year of the mission of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is known as Aamul Huzn, the year of grief, the year of sorrow, the year of sadness. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, all he had gone through these three traumatic and depressing and sad incidents in his life, and that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to honor his Nabi, to console his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to cheer up his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala gifted him and blessed him with such an honor and such a distinction that was not given to any person before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and will not be given to any person after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this miraculous journey. So he mentioned there are two aspects here. One is the Isra, the traveling from Makkah Mukarramah to the lands of Palestine, Baytul Maqdis, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. And the second is the Mi'raj, the upward ascension of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first, the Isra, Allah ta'ala touches of it in the Quran. In the Quran Sharif, Allah ta'ala says in the opening verses of Surah Bani Israel, Surah Isra, Allah says, glory be to that being who took his slave Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the night journey from Al-Masjid Al-Haram in Makkah Mukarramah to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, the furthest masjid. Because at that time, Masjid Al-Aqsa was the masjid that was very, very far from Makkah Mukarramah. So it's not Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, the furthest masjid. And why? لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا. So Allah Ta'ala wanted to show Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the great signs of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The details of this, and likewise the details of the Mi'raj, the upward ascension of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is found in the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the authentic books of hadith. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that on one night in this very same year, the 10th year, the Aamul Huzn, the year of grief of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I was sleeping in my home, and suddenly the roof of my home is split open. And there Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam and two other angels descend into my room. Then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam takes me to the well of Zamzam near the Kaaba. And there Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam cuts open the chest of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And with the water of Zamzam, he washes and cleanses the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Ulama mention that the reason for this was to prepare the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the very, very great and outstanding things that Nabi alayhi wa sallam was going to see on this night. To make his heart have the capacity and get it ready to be able to take in and to accept and to be able to have the capacity to hold whatever he's going to see on that night. So that is why the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was washed with the water of Zamzam. Ulama mentioned that the splitting of the chest of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and likewise the washing of the heart of Nabi sallam took place various times in the life of Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, up to four times. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a young boy in the home of Halima Sa'adiyah, his witness growing up, happened the first time. Then the second time when Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was roughly around, was about 10 years old, when he was on a journey with his uncle Abu Talib, at that time as well, the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was washed. Again when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became a Nabi in Ghari Hira, in the cave of Hira, at that time also, narrations mentioned that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's heart was opened up and it was washed. And likewise on this occasion when Nabi Sallam was taken to the Mi'raj. And thereafter a tray, a gold tray from Jannat had been brought. And this tray had only two things, hikmah, wisdom and iman, faith and iman. And these two things were installed and put into the heart of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then the heart of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was put back into his chest. Ulama mentioned that the angels brought the gold tray from Jannah. As they had brought a gold tray of Jannah, they could have easily brought the water of Jannah to wash the heart of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But yet the water of Zamzam was chosen to wash the heart of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam over the water of Jannah. So this shows that the water of Zamzam is more virtuous than the water of Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy and accessible for all of us to once again and always drink the water of Zamzam. Then Nabi Ali mentions that after my chest was once again sewn up again, and then an animal was brought to me, a white colored animal. The name of the animal is Al-Buraq. Buraq comes from the Arabic word Barq, which means lightning. This animal, because it will move at lightning speed, that is called Al-Buraq. This animal, wherever its gaze would reach, that's where its legs will now reach. So this animal could travel as fast as light. So Allah's Nabi said, I was taken from Al-Masjid al-Haram to Al-Masjid al-Aqsa on this animal, the Buraq. And when I came to Al-Masjid al-Aqsa, there I took this animal and I tied it up onto that link or that ring on the wall where all the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasallam, when they would come to Al-Masjid al-Aqsa, they would tie up the animals. And then I went into Al-Masjid al-Aqsa, and there Allah Ta'ala had caused the Anbiya, all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather in Al-Masjid al-Aqsa. And Imam al-Anbiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the leader of all the Anbiya alayhi musallatu, now goes ahead and he leads them in salah. And after salah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam now begins his mi'raj, his upward ascension. And Jibril alayhi salatu wasallam now ascends with Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam upward towards the skies. And then they come to the as-sama'u dunya, the first, the closest sky. And Jibril alayhi salatu wasallam knocks on the door of the sky. And the angels that are in charge are the doorkeepers of that door of the first sky. They ask, who is there at the door? He says, I am Jibril alayhi salatu wasallam. And they ask him, who is with you? He says, with me is none other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The angels ask, has he been asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come into the sky? Jibril alayhi replies, yes, he has been given permission by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ascend into the sky. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I go into the sky. And there I see a man. On the right hand side of this man, there are a number of people. And on the left hand side of this people, this person, there's also a number of people. And this person, when he looks towards his right, he begins to smile and he laughs. And he looks towards his left, he begins to cry and he begins to moan. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, ask Jibril alayhi salatu wasallam, but who is this person? He says, this person is your father, Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasallam. And the people to the right are those of his progeny who are destined for Jannah. So when he looks at them, he becomes happy, he becomes pleased, he smiles and he laughs. And those people on his left, may Allah save us, are those people who are destined to go to him, those of his progeny who are destined to go to Jahannam. So when he looks at them, it grieves him, it saddens him, and he begins to cry. Then Nabi alayhi salatu goes up to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Adam alayhi salam greets him, marhaban bin nabiyyi salih wal ibn salih. Oh, welcome to a very, very pious prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And welcome to a very, very pious son of mine, from my progeny. So Adam alayhi salam welcomes Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam now ascends and he goes up to the second sky. Same story, permission is asked to enter the sky, permission is given. And now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam now comes to the second sky. And there he meets two great prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and Nabi Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was sort of, you can say, the nephew of Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam, because Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam's Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam's mother of the mother of Maryam radiyallahu anha. So Maryam radiyallahu anha, who is the mother of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, she was the cousin of Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam, and Maryam radiyallahu anha's son was Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So he met in the sky Nabi Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam and Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam now goes up to the third sky. And there he meets Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And Nabi Yusuf comments that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was such a beautiful man, as though Allah Ta'ala had bestowed him with half of all beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to give to mankind. And then Nabi alayhi salam now goes on to the fourth sky. And there he meets Nabi Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. And all his anbiya are greeting him, Marhaman bin Nabi Sali wal Akhu Sali wal Akhi Sali. Welcome to a very, very pious Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and welcome to our pious brother. Nabi salam goes into the fifth sky. And in the fifth sky, Nabi alayhi salam meets Nabi Harun alayhi salatu wasalam. Same welcome he gives him. He goes up to the sixth sky, and there he meets Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is crying. So he asks, oh Nabi Musa, why are you crying? He says, because I know that there will come another prophet after me, who a larger number of his followers will enter Jannah than my followers. That's referring to the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he greets Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam with the same greeting, welcome to a pious prophet and welcome to a pious brother. And then he goes to the seventh sky, and there he meets Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam gives some advice to Nabi. As first he tells, O Nabi of Allah, convey my salam to the ummah, to your ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and tell them that the soil of Jannah is very, very fertile, and that Jannah is barren. It's a soil that is fertile, ready to grow trees, but there are no trees at the moment. It is up to them to plant the trees of Jannah. And what is the plantation and what is the seeds to the trees of Jannah? Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. More the person recites this, the more he will receive the trees of Jannah. And Nabi alayhi salam now meets Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he comes to a place which is known as Makanu Sarif al-Aqlam. The place of the scratching of the pens. You know when you're writing with a pencil on a piece of paper and it makes that scratching noise? This is known in Arabic as Sarif al-Aqlam. The noise of the scratching of the pins. Ulama mentioned this was the place where Nabi Alayhi could hear the malaika recording either the deeds of Ibn Adam, the deeds of insan, or they were recording all the instructions given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Nabi comes to the Sidratul Muntaha. Sidratul Muntaha, Sidra refers to a type of tree, the lot tree or the lotus tree. Of course, it's not a tree, it's a tree unlike the lotus trees or the lot trees of this world. Nabi Sallam comes and says that this tree was covered in various colors, and the fruit of this tree was as large as huge jars. And Allah Ta'ala had cast very, very different light, and Allah Ta'ala had cast different colors on this trees. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on this journey, he went and met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a difference of opinion among scholars whether really Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this night or not. But many of the scholars of the Sahaba were of the opinion that he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this night. And the greatest gift given to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on this night, many things were given to Nabi alayhi salatu on this night. Allah Ta'ala promised forgiveness for the sins of his ummah. Allah Ta'ala had given him the closing verses of Surah Baqarah, Aman al-Rasulu, till the end of the Surah, given to Nabi alayhi salam, revealed to him on the occasion of Mi'raj in disguise. And the greatest gift given to Nabi alayhi salam on this night was the gift of Salah. The direct line between this insan and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, initially Allah Ta'ala had commanded that 50 salahs a day were necessary, farz upon the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah's Nabi takes this 50 salahs, an injunction put upon him and his ummah, 50 salahs a day. And as Nabi salam is coming down, he once again passes by Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And may Allah Ta'ala have mercy upon Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. We owe a great dua, and we owe a great service to Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. We owe a lot to Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Because as he was coming down, Musa asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, what did Allah make farz upon your ummah? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam replies, He has made 50 salahs farz upon my ummah. Musa says, O Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, I tried and tested my ummah. They could not even manage lesser than that day. Where will your ummah ever manage 50 salawat a day? Go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah Ta'ala for some sort of concession, for Allah Ta'ala to lower the number of salawat. So Allah once and goes up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, goes up, and again Allah Ta'ala now decreases 5 salat, making it 45. Again Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam comes down, again he passes by Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, same conversation, again Nabi alayhi goes up, and again he asks for concession. Like this, five salah was dropped off, until only 5 salat a day would remain farz. And when Nabi Asin is coming down with 5 salawat, and again he passes by Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and he tells him, Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what has Allah made farz upon your ummah? Nabi Asim mentions that he's made 5 salah farz in a day. Musa alayhi salam still insists that, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, go up to Allah and ask him for further concession because your ummah will never ever manage it. Nabi Asim says, now I feel shy because Allah ta'ala was dropping off 5 salawat at a time. If I go back one more time, Allah is going to remove from us the obligation of salah. I feel shy for Allah ta'ala. That I feel shy, that I have to go before Allah and ask Allah to totally remove the obligation of salah, so I'm not going up again. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam now comes down, back to Masjid al-Aqsa according to some narrations, and then Nabi alayhi salam comes back to Makkah Mukarramah. The next morning, in Makkah Mukarramah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is now sitting. He's wondering how is he going to break this news to his people. Where will his people ever accept this miraculous journey of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam? Where will they ever accept that in one night, a journey that normally takes a few months to cover, he is saying that he did it in 1 month. Nabi Asim is sitting down there. Abu Jahl of all people comes. Nabi Asim tells him, you know what? Last night my Lord took me on this miraculous journey from Makkah Mukarramah to Baytul Maqdis. So Abu Jahl begins to laugh. And he tells him, are you prepared to say what you are saying in front of your entire nation, in front of your entire qawm, your entire tribe? So Allah's Nabi Asim says, yes, I am about, I'm prepared to give this and tell them what happened to me in front of my entire qawm. The people are now gathered, and Nabi Asim now tells them that Rasulullah Allah took me on this miraculous journey. So people begin to laugh, they begin to mock, they begin to jeer at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala is told, have you heard what your Nabi is now saying? He says that he had traveled on this journey last night in a matter of a night, a journey that takes months to accomplish. He has done it in a few hours. In one night he has done it. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu says at that time, I am prepared to accept even things that are more far-fetched than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I believe everything Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. On this occasion, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq earned the title of as-Siddiq, that person who is very quick to bow down to the truth. And the people of Makkah, the kuffar of Makkah, they wanted to test Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, did he really go on this journey? So they asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to describe to them what does the inside of Al-Masjid Aqsa look like. Nabi alayhi salam obviously hadn't paid attention to the details of the masjid. So Nabi alayhi salam became a bit worried. But Allah ta'ala opened up to him once again the vision of Al-Masjid Aqsa. And Nabi salam accurately described to them the description of the inside of Masjid Aqsa. And people were impressed. And Allah's Nabi also told them that when I was traveling back from Masjid Aqsa to Makkah Mukarramah, I passed by a certain caravan that will arrive on a certain day. And the lead camel in that caravan is a camel with certain description. So the people went on that certain day and waited outside Makkah Mukarramah to see if this caravan will come. And true to the word of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that caravan arrived on that day. And the lead camel was exactly as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam had described to them. But my dear brothers, may Allah save us from reaching that stage. Our hearts become stubborn. Our hearts become stubborn. And we are not prepared to bow down and accept the truth. That is why the dua of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala is very, very important, especially in this day and age. Allahumma arinal haqqa haqqa warzuqna tiba'a wa arinal batila batila warzuqna tinaba. Allah ta'ala, show us the truth as the truth. Allow us to accept the truth. Follow the truth. And oh Allah, that which is batil, that which is falsehood, that which is not true, allow us to recognize and understand that this is batil, this is falsehood, this is not true, and allow us to stray away from that batil. Because when a heart becomes stubborn, and a heart becomes enveloped in sin, then it becomes very, very hard for a person to accept that he is wrong. And it becomes very, very hard for a person to bow down to the truth. So these people, despite seeing the clear miracle of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but because their rejection in their heart had reached such a stage, at that juncture too, they're not prepared to accept the khabar of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. They said, Hada sihrum mubin. What he has told us, all this is nothing but sorcery and witchcraft. So when the heart reaches that stage, my dear brothers, a person has reached a very, 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 very dangerous state in his life. And on that day after the Mi'raj, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for the next 2 days, for the next 10 salawat. And he taught to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam the various times he led Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in salah. He was the imam and Nabi Sallam was following him. He was teaching to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam the various times of salah. The Zohar namaz, he read this time, Asr namaz, Maghrib namaz, Isha namaz, and Fajr, at various times, over 2 days he led Nabi Alaihi in prayer, and like this Nabi Alaihi learned the etiquettes of Salah and likewise the times of Salah. Ulama mentioned prior to Mi'raj, there was the concept of Salah, but only 2 Salahs a day the Muslims would perform. 1 in the morning and 1 in the evening, 2 rakats. At that day there was no 5 times Salah farz upon the Ummah of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, but with the Mi'raj taking place from that day onwards until the day of Qiyamah, the obligation of 5 times daily Salah has been put upon this Ummah. Now, my dear brother, this is the brief story of the incident of Isra and Mi'raj. I'd like to touch on briefly, very, very quickly, 2 important lessons which are very, very pertinent to us in our day and age. Number one, my dear brothers, is that as we mentioned, that year was known as Aamul Huzn, a very trying, difficult, sad, and depressing time for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, during that year, or likewise throughout his life, despite the ups and downs, the difficulties, the hardships, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam remained focused. He persevered. He forged ahead. He did not look back. He did not worry too much about what's going to happen in the future. But Allah's Nabi stuck upon his course. He was determined. He put his faith, his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result of putting his faith and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala blessed him with his great gift of Mi'raj. And Nabi Asim, during this time, what he did display, the biggest quality he displayed was the quality of abdiyah. That whatever happens, I will not give in to my feelings, my emotions, my whims, my fancies, but rather I will bow down to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why perhaps Allah ta'ala in this ayat, Allah ta'ala did not say, Subhanalladhi asra bi rasulihi, or Subhanalladhi asra bi habibihi, or Subhanalladhi asra bi Muhammadin. Glory be to the one who took Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the night journey. Glory be to the one who took his messenger or his beloved on the night journey. Allah said, Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi, the one who took his slave on the night journey. In fiqh, Islamic fiqh, we study what is a slave. One is our khadim, not the people, our domestic helpers at home. They are people, free people who assist us, who help us, who are providing a service to us. And one is an abd, a slave. A slave, as we study in Islamic fiqh, is a person who is owned by another person. Just as you own your horse, you own your car, you own your house, you own this person. This person owns absolutely nothing whatsoever. Even the clothes that he is wearing does not belong to him, it belongs to his master. He's not allowed to buy, he's not allowed to sell, he's not allowed to get married, he's not allowed to do anything except with the permission and the consent of his master. This is what an abd is. And for a person in this world to be an abd, a servant of somebody, a slave of somebody, or for a person to be known as the slave of somebody, this is a sort of a disgrace. But for a person to be known as Abdullah, the slave of Allah, this is actually an honor and a distinction given to that person by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Abd, Abdihi, his slave, this is an honor and distinction given to Nabi alayhi wa sallam. He is a person who has totally bowed down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The poet says, وَمَا زَادَنِي شَرَفًا وَتِيهًا وَكِتُّ بِأَخْمَسَيَّ أَتَأُ ثُرَيَّ. That's something that really honors me, and makes me feel very, very proud to such an extent that I feel that I am walking on the Thuraya star. دُخُولِي تَحْتَ قَوْلِكَ يَا عِبَادِي. That when Allah Ta'ala in Quran Sharif says, يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا. O my servants, O my abd, O my servants. When Allah Ta'ala used this term in the Holy Quran, every single one of us are also included in there. Allah has called us His banda, His servant. This is an honor given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala called Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Abd. So my dear, but the lesson for us is, we are also going through 1 year now of turmoil, difficulty, hardship. Of course, our hardship, our difficulty can never ever compare to the hardship and difficulty of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But in our lives, we have seen this 1 year of absolute difficulty, hardship, turmoil. There's been loss of life, there's been monetary loss. People are suffering mental issues because of the stress and the anxiety. And there's a lot of anxiety, uncertainty. All of us do not know what the future holds. But the lesson we can take from the life of Nabi alayhi salam, from the lesson of Mi'raj, is that we have to persevere. We have to carry on upon our path. Put our trust, our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not be too worried about what's going to happen in the future. Carry on day by day, take each day as it comes. And be loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continue to do good, continue to be at the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We read the story of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, another Nabi who went through many ups and downs in his life. Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, subhanallah, look at this, in this prison, as a prisoner, the people of the prison come to him and tell him, Nabi Ta'wili, O Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, we have seen certain dreams, please give us the interpretation of the dream. Inna naraka minal muhsinin. We see you to be a very, very good man, a very, very loyal man, a person who is loyal to his Lord. In the prison, these words are used by Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And when he's on the throne of Egypt, ruling over Egypt, the treasury of Egypt is in his control. Again, وَخُذْ أَحَدَنَا مَكَانَا إِنَّا نَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. The brothers come back, Yusuf alayhi, long story. He tell them, oh, Yusuf alayhi, release our brother. Inna naraka minal muhsinin. The very, very same words used for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam whilst he was in the prison. Inna naraka minal muhsinin. Now on the throne of Egypt, the very, very same words are used. Inna naraka minal muhsinin. You seem like a very, very good, loyal person. And that is the lesson for us, my dear brothers. Ups and downs in our life. This will happen. This is the system of life. Every person will go through ups and downs. We cannot become depressed. We cannot become too anxious. Rather, we have to persevere. We have to forge ahead. We have to move our head, putting our trust and our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second important lesson, my dear brothers, and how can we ever discuss the layla, the night, the issue of mi'raj and isra, without discussing the greatest gift of that night, and that is the issue of salah. The greatest gift given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to this ummah is the gift of salah. When it came to the other injunctions of our deen, be it the fasting, be it the hajj, be it the zakat, Allah Ta'ala sent down revelations from the sky to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on this earth. But when it came to salah, to show us the importance of salah, the position of salah in our deen, Allah did not send wahi from the skies to the earth, but Allah took his Nabi from the earth to the skies. So this shows the importance of salah in our deen. This was a direct line that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up for us Muslims, between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, sometimes people brag, see on my phone, I have the direct number of the commander of this of the police station. Any problem, one call away and the man is there. A direct line between me and him. The salah that Allah ta'ala gave us is a direct line between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the hadith sharif mentions, when a person stands up in salah, and he makes Allahu Akbar, and he begins to recite, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah says, my banda, my servant has praised me. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, he has glorified me. Malik Yawmiddin, Allah ta'ala says, my banda has exalted me. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Allah replies each time we recite Surah Fatiha. Allah replies, this is what my banda is saying. Now this affair between me and my slave has become a personal affair. Now whatever my slave asked me, I am prepared to give my slave. So the direct line, salah is the direct line. That is why in Arabic we have the saying, As-salatu mi'rajul mu'min. Allah's Nabi went up on mi'raj to receive salah, the injunction of salah in the skies. But a believer, every time he stands in salah and he says, Allahu Akbar, this is his ascension into the skies. He's opened up a direct line between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Allah ta'ala has instructed us in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ista'inu bis sabri was salah. That when you face difficulties, the way to resolve your difficulties is not suicide, is not depression, but rather through sabr, being patient, as we mentioned the first point, moving ahead, remaining steadfast, was salah, and this direct line between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is salah. So I have to say, my dear brothers, that today, asked our brothers of Tabligh, they will give you the full stats of how little a small percentage of the ummah is regular upon the 5-time daily salah. Very, very small number. Look at the number of homes in every Muslim community, in every neighborhood. And look at the number of baligh males in that area. And then look at the number of men who are there for Fajr salah in the masjid. Of any salah for that reason. And we'll see that a very, very small percentage of people are reading the salah in the akmal, in the best way. That is to read in the masjid, in the house of Allah. So I'm not saying that people are not reading salah at home. But the best way, the way that Nabi alayhi salam will read salah in the masjid, very, very small percentage of these people are reading salah in this way. And my dear brothers, with this entire lockdown that we had and everything, definitely without a doubt, the ahmiyat, the importance of salah, the importance of jamaat salah, the importance of jumaat salah. This to an extent has left the hearts of many, many people. Sad to say, my dear brothers, there are many people who now going 1 year have not set foot in a house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, ask the brothers of Tabligh, they will tell you. Many, many people. And my dear brothers, this is a great service that we can do. We have found that these people, sometimes they're a bit anxious, they're a bit scared. Just one knock on their door. Just a slight word of encouragement, and very, very quickly, the person will be prepared to come back to the masjid. So those of our family, our friends, our relatives that we know, that perhaps because of their fright, they worry, they're not coming to the masjid, this is the place to resolve our problems. This is the place to bring an end to the pandemic. This is the place to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the control of all affairs, will bring an end to anything, to everything. Nothing is beyond the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah can do whatever He wants to do. We just have to knock on the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah sooner or later will definitely give us what we want. So my dear brothers, the issues of salah. Knock on the door of the brothers, and just encourage them slightly, and inshallah they will come back to the masjid. And my dear brothers, the issue of salah, we find in the hadith Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned many, many warnings regarding a person who has left out salah. But perhaps the greatest, the thing that we can take a lesson from was Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam in his Hajjatul Wida, his farewell sermon, where Allah's Nabi sallam was now coming to the end of his mission. And Allah's Nabi in that sermon only outlined the most important issues of his deen. Allah's Nabi did not have time to go into details, but the most important things of his deen. And at that time, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again reminds the ummah, as-salah, as-salah. That, oh my ummah, please be paban, please be regular with your salah. As Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had written to his governors, that according to me, according to Umar, he says, the most important thing is salah. Oh my governors, if you are not going to be regular upon your salah, then I fear that you cannot be trusted in other things. If you cannot be regular with your salah, then you cannot be trusted in other things. Then Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he was stabbed at the end of his life, and he was stabbed in the Fajr, at the time of Fajr. Later that day, time for another salah came. When Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala comes to him, and he finds that Umar radiallahu ta'ala is now unconscious. He asks the people, how's Umar? They say, you can see he's unconscious. So this person, Miswar bin Makhrama radiallahu ta'ala, who tells him that, remind him the time for salah has come. So immediately somebody went, oh, Amirul Mu'mineen, the time of salah has come. Subhanallah, Amirul Mu'mineen. Umar al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, at that time, despite being unconscious, immediately his eyes opened. And he says, yes, the time for salah has come. There is no place in Islam. There is no place in Islam for that person who does not perform his salah. And despite the wounds of Umar radiallahu ta'ala being gushing with blood, spurting with blood, still Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu at that time, in that condition, he's regular with his salah. So my dear brothers, the greatest lesson of Mi'raj, we have come today, inshallah, we have come with a good intention. So the lesson for us to take home from here is the issue of salah. Especially in this day and age when we have seen the importance of salah being removed from the hearts of people. Inshallah, Allah give me tawfiq, Allah give you tawfiq, that inshallah, from tomorrow, Fajr salah. Every salah, without fail, I will try my hardest to come to the masjid or the place where people gather for salah, the jamaat khanas, wherever it may be, get together for salah and read all our salahs in the masjid. We all make this intention, inshallah. Say, inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Ya hayu ya qiyum, ya hayu ya qiyum, ya hayu ya qiyum, bi rahmatika nastaghith. اللهم رحمتك نرجو فلا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين واصلح لنا شأننا كله لا إله إلا أنت most merciful, most compassionate, most kind Allah. Ya Allah, please forgive all our sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, please forgive all our sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, please forgive all our sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive our parents, Ya Allah. Forgive our spouses, Ya Allah. Forgive our children, Ya Allah. Forgive our brothers and our sisters, Ya Allah. Forgive our relatives, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive the entire ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, put into our heart, Ya Allah, the importance of salah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq, Ya Allah, that every single salah, Ya Allah, we perform in your house, Ya Allah, in the masjid, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to be regular with our salah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, allow us to see the month of Ramadan in your house, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, last year was a different kind of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, it is difficult for us, Ya Allah, to spend the month of Ramadan out of your house, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, do not deprive us of the opportunity of reading Taraweeh in your house, Ya Allah. Do not deprive us of the opportunity of breaking fast in your house, Ya Allah. Do not deprive us of the opportunity of reading Salah in Jamaat in your house, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties of the Ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties of the Ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, this night has gone on for too long, Ya Allah. The zulm, the oppression, the hardship of the Ummah, Ya Allah. How long it has gone on, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, we understand and we accept and we concede, Ya Allah, that our hardship and our difficulties because of our sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, ham iqrari mujrim here, Ya Allah. Ham iqrari mujrim here, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we confess and we concede, Ya Allah, that because of our sins that we are suffering, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, but we are the ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, don't look at us, Ya Allah, but look at your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because of your love for your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, please remove the difficulties of the ummat, Ya Allah. Bring ease, Ya Allah, to the entire world, Ya Allah. To humanity at large, Ya Allah. Bring ease, Ya Allah. Remove the difficulties, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those that are sick and aiding, Ya Allah, give them kamil shifa, Ya Allah. Those that are going through financial difficulties, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, remove their financial difficulties, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those people who are going through any sort of hardship or difficulty or worry, Allah, you know what each person is experiencing, Ya Allah. And Ya Allah, the resolution to all these problems lies in your hands, Ya Allah. Remove the difficulties, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you for the best of deen, dunya, qabr and akhirat, Ya Allah. All the good du'as that Nabi alayhi salam made, Ya Allah, we ask you to also give us a share in those du'as, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, and all the evil that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sought protection from, Ya Allah, we also seek protection from those evils, Ya Allah. Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam. Tabarakta rabbana wa ta'ali tayyadan jalali wal ikram. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillah.